This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
About the NBA Finals. Let's do today and see where that takes us. The Warriors right now have 10 games left, and there's going to be a lot of drama. I think there's going to be some highs, some lows, some ups, some downs, all of that. For the Giants, I know I've said it already twice today that I think they can be a playoff team, but that's just talking about their ceiling. I'm not stressed about it today. I don't even want to put that bar on them today. I just want to ask Giants fans if it feels different. Just watching the game, even when they were down 3-2, did it feel different? To me, the whole experience felt different.
It felt different for me in the ninth inning when they actually had a guy hit the ball over the fence and they hit two home runs. And I don't have the exact number in front of me, but you go back to the year where they won 107 and they were a home run hitting team.
Yeah,
and then the year subsequent to that, they've been one of the lower teams in terms of home runs, and now they're on pace to hit 324 home runs, Mark. I'm not trying to skip ahead to the end.
Don't skip to the end.
I'm just dealing with pacing.
Tell you what you can skip to.
Yep.
A conversation with George Kontos. How about that?
Well, I'm not going to do that until he's actually on the phone.
Well, then let's go to the River Islands guest
line. Let's go to the phones.
And let's get our conversation going with George Kontos. Actually, hold on, George, because I have to do this first.
Hold on.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Now to the River Islands guest line for George Kontos on opening day. Hey, George, what'd you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was very, very looking like old school Giants baseball there at the end. You know, that you could feel the momentum building up there in the ninth inning. It just had a very, very big-time momentum shift that I felt like everyone could feel.
No doubt about it, and I tell you the word that we talk about at the beginning of every season, doesn't matter the sport. We all want to know about the vibes. Steph Curry was talking about them at the beginning of Warriors season. They were very good. Beginning of Niners season, all that contract crap, they were bad. I keep hearing people around the Giants say, the vibe is totally different. What are you seeing, George?
Well, yeah, you know, I've heard the same things that you're hearing from everybody, talking to a lot of players. I mean, look, when you have a guy like Buster who's at the helm of the entire organization, I mean, we all know what he did as a player and his leadership of this organization. And when you have somebody like that setting the tone, there really is a trickle-down effect because there's an expectation that he has of what this organization should be about. And obviously wins and losses are one thing, but the way that you go about your business, the way that you play the game, you know, the way that you interact with your teammates, there's definitely been a shift from what we've seen over the last several years when you're talking about this year so far through spring training and game one.
Mark and I were talking about the spring training record, and it feels like it's superfluous. It's not that important, but does it really help you as a club when you go about winning games, even though they don't count in the standings? The idea of winning, the muscle memory of getting a win, can that really carry over into the regular season?
I think maybe minimally. I don't think that many people in that clubhouse are paying attention to the fact that they won spring training, right? Like, guys are going in there trying to get their feet under them, trying to get their arms and their stamina ready for the season. And, you know, there's a huge difference when you show up to game one and there's two more decks and there's 35,000 more people or 30,000 more people, and you're playing in a major league stadium that you've been in before. The atmosphere is completely different. I think what they did in spring training is fantastic. They came in and they found a cohesive unit, and they have a very good chemistry. And you had a few new guys, and you had some camp battles that have finally subsided. And today was game one. I think that there was a lot of excitement coming into today. And look, I mean, the team struck out 17 times, but they were able to pull out a win. And everyone's in a very good mood looking into Justin Verlander's debut on Saturday.
George Contos, NBC Sports Bay Area, someone who used to man the bullpen for the Giants with us here on Willard and Dibbs. George, how would you break down the lineup? Not lost on me that last handful of years, they've had to use Wilmer Flores in the 3-hole. Now he's sitting in the 7-hole. How does the lineup look different to you?
Well, the lineup looks a lot deeper, you know, and when you have a guy like Matt Chapman in there long-term who you can count on being in the middle of that lineup every single day, that helps. When you have Elliot Ramos, who has established himself after last year, and he looks like he's poised to pick up right where he left off in the middle of that lineup, that helps. You've now moved Jung-Hoo Lee from the leadoff spot to the 3-hole spot, where he's going to see a lot of pitches. He's not going to punch out very often. Bat-to-ball skills are really good. You've just really lengthened the lineup with Lamont Wade, who's as good of a leadoff hitter as we've seen. You know, the speed is not like the fastest, but he can get on base. His bat-to-ball skills are fantastic. He can hit gap-to-gap and for power. Then you add Willy Adames in there in the 2-hole. I mean, your first 5-6 guys are great, and don't sleep on, you know, Yaz has had a great spring, and you know, it looks like a much deeper lineup, and it would have looked even deeper if Encarnacion hadn't gotten his little hand injury, unfortunately.
Stick with Yaz for just a moment, who only one of four outfielders to make the opening day roster, and he gets the start today against a righty. How much has his development as an overall player been so essential to this team, especially now that you have him down there in the 8-hole?
You know, I think the thing that Yaz brings is first of all, he's a great clubhouse guy. He's a veteran guy now. He's a really good presence in the clubhouse, and he plays defense out there in right field as well as anybody that's ever patrolled it. I mean, you're talking about guys like Hunter Pence, Nate Sheerholtz, you know, Gregor Blanco, if he was out there. You're talking about defense like that out of him in right field. And obviously the last couple of years, the numbers at the plate haven't been spectacular. The average has been a little bit down. He did slug 17 homers last year, but he's looked really good. I mean, he struggled with some fastballs up and in, and in this spring training, he really did a good job hitting a couple of them really hard. Today, we saw him drop the head of the bat and lace a single on a 97 or 98 mile an hour fastball from Hunter Green. So he's looking very confident with the bat. And for him, it's just bat to ball skills. I mean, you saw him go the other way for his second single today. He looks very confident. He's letting the ball travel deep. You know, Yaz is a guy who is instrumental to the culture of this ball club. He's been here for a long time now, and it's nice to see him pick up on game one right where he left off from spring training.
Let's go to your area of expertise. Who's the linchpin of this bullpen? Who really needs to have a great year for them to perform?
You know, I think Camilo Doval is a guy that when you look at what could really prop up this bullpen to being one of the better ones in not just the National League, but in baseball, you have a guy in Camilo, you know, Ryan Walker is going to be really good in that closer role. He's kind of locked it down and looks very comfortable there. You know, Rodriguez looked really, really good today. Miller has finally found his stride, not finally, but he's found his stride. He looks comfortable out there. Camilo Doval, and I've said this for the last about year, I think he could be a very, very dangerous swingman, similar to Andrew Miller in his years when he was not closing. You can deploy him in a crucial part of the game, whether it's the sixth inning, the seventh inning, the eighth inning, wherever you need big outs with the type of stuff that he has. I think he could be a really good swingman in that capacity. And if he has the type of year that we know that he's capable of having that propelled him to be an all-star a couple years ago, this bullpen can be really, really good.
Just shifting to the rotation and mainly today's starter, Logan Webb. He goes five. He gives up three, all earned. I know he got touched up in the first inning and gave up the one run. What did you see from Logan in his opener today through five innings?
Well, you know, obviously Logan, it was his fourth opening day start. And even a guy who's been around some time now, like Logan has, you still fall victim to some of those opening day jitters. And by jitters, I just mean all the extra adrenaline of playing in a meaningful Major League Baseball game. I mean, you know, you're the ace of this staff. You're going out there touching the rubber for the first time on game one when everyone's starting out with an 0-0 record. So I think he was just a little bit fired up to be out there. The fastball touched up to 95 in that first inning. And, you know, when you have that kind of good stuff, when you feel really good and you're hyped up, things tend to get a little bit elevated. You don't finish your pitches quite as well. I thought he did a good job battling. You know, he got through 5 and 78. He probably had another couple innings under the hood, but it's game one. So I'm not worried about Logan at all. And obviously everything gets completely forgotten about because the Giants, got a win there in the ninth inning.
George, I'm trying to figure this out, man. You're 39 years old.
Oh.
Buster Posey turned 38 today. Today is his birthday. Their starting pitcher on Saturday is 40 freaking two. Like, how's this going to work? What do you think Justin Verlander is going to do this year?
Well, you know, I think that Justin Verlander is very hungry. He's a guy that is not used to, in his career, and probably throwing a baseball his entire life, to having numbers or a type of year like he did last year. And obviously he dealt with some injuries, but he's a competitor. He's a guy that is one of those generational types of players, and there's only a handful every generation that are able to go out there for as long and pitch at a level as high as he has. I mean, the guys that I can think of right now are him, Kershaw, and Scherzer, for the most part, that have gone and done it at that high of a level. I think he's hungry. I think that when he looks back on his year from last year, everything all encompassed into one basket, I think it left a sour taste in his mouth, and he has something to prove. And when you're a guy who's been around for as long as he has, three Cy Youngs, MVP, world champion, first ballot Hall of Famer, he's leading the active players statistically in like three or four different categories. You're a guy that has a lot to offer still, and you don't get there by not having a little bit of a sickness in a good way. You're one of those generational type of guys, and I think he's going to, you know, handle his business this year the way he has throughout his entire career. And I think that's going to resonate with some of these younger guys, not only on the staff, the starting staff, but in the bullpen as well, watching a guy like that with the tenure he's had go about his business.
Yeah, 38 wins away from 300, and if he gets there, I do believe he will be the last pitcher ever to reach the 300-win plateau. And I wonder, George, how much a veteran like that can help a younger staff? And I know you weren't necessarily young when Tim Hudson came to the Giants. I think you were 30 already, but when a veteran joins a team with younger arms, what kind of an impact can it make?
Well, you automatically have a bullseye of respect from everybody in your clubhouse because of how long you've played the game and how high of a level you've played the game at. And when you're that type of player, everyone looks to you just to see how you go about your business and how you do things. So you have an indirect obligation to continue to lead. And obviously Justin Verlander and, you know, Tim Hudson, like you mentioned, those guys come in and they have a very big time track record because they've played in the generation prior. You know, Tim Hudson played on the Oakland A's Moneyball team, obviously, right? Then he comes to our team, and we look at him like, oh, man, I watched you growing up. A lot of these guys watched Justin Verlander growing up, and now they get to look at him side by side as they toe the rubber every fifth day. So it's a really cool thing to get to play with a guy like Justin Verlander or those guys who are kind of multi-generational in the game of baseball.
George Contos with us, Willard and Dibbs here, 95.7 The Game. The Giants are 1-0 with a thrilling come-from-behind 6-4 win in Cincinnati today. I want to ask you about a couple of guys. One of them, I think Wilmer Flores, kind of the forgotten guy, and he dealt with a lot of injuries, but he's getting older. I don't think Giants fans were terribly excited, especially with Encarnacion going down, to see Flores still be a key member. Now, maybe that changes in the blink of an eye because of today. So how are you feeling for him, and how do you see him contributing this year?
You know, you have to go based on, you know, the sample size that you see, right? Last year, and Logan Webb did a really nice job, I think, in his post-game interview summing this up. Last year, Flo wasn't moving around all that well. His knees hurt. He looked like he kind of was dealing with things more often than not. But he looks healthy this year, and when he's healthy, people seem to forget sometimes where over the past several years, there were weak stretches where Wilmer, like, led the offense and was carrying the team on his back and always seemed to get a hit in really big situations. And a healthy Wilmer Flores, look, I mean, I faced him quite a bit. He's always a tough at-bat. He fouls pitches off. You make a mistake, as one was made today, he hits it really hard, and he's continuously done that when he's been healthy, not only throughout his Giants tenure, but even before that when we were facing him looking across the other side of the white line. So when he's healthy, that's what he can do. The guy's just a pure hitter. And if he can play in the field and get some other guys off their feet at first base or wherever that might be, giving guys a day, that's an added bonus. But him with the stick in his hand, I would always feel confident with him in a big spot and being able to deliver.
I also want to ask you about someone who didn't even make the team. How is the organization feeling about Kyle Harrison, and what do you think the plan is?
You know, I think the conversation that they have with him was, look, you need to go down there and you need to just go pitch and get outs. You know, people forget Kyle Harrison. Well, maybe they don't forget or they don't realize. He's very young still. This guy was just a year and a half ago the best left-handed pitching prospect in baseball. So, you know, everyone's worried about, oh, his velocity was this, but now it's this, and it's got to get back to that. I think that competition that they had in spring training always breeds greatness. And you saw Birdsong and Landon Root step up to the task, and they earn spots on this team. And what Kyle Harrison needs to do is go to Sacramento and just pitch his tail off, because we know what he's capable of when he's healthy. When he's rolling right, not when he's not that he's not healthy. But I think what he has to do really is hone in on his off-speed stuff. I would love to see him tinker with or add a cut fastball to get hitters off of that good riding fastball that he has. And then I'd love to see him just really get comfortable and confident with that changeup, throwing it behind in the counts. You have to protect your fastball as the league starts seeing you over and over again. And he's only 24 years old. They're going to see him for a long time, hopefully. You got to continue to evolve, and you have to get ahead of hitters and throw strikes. You know, if I was him in Sacramento, I would be trying to have every at-bat end in three pitches or less. I don't need to strike everybody out. I need to get ahead with strike one and make guys hit my pitches, and I think he'll be just fine once he gets his feet back under him once the minor league season starts.
Yeah, the evolution of a pitcher instead of just a thrower who's got that plus stuff. And you mentioned guys growing up watching Verlander. Kyle was 3.5 when Justin Verlander started, so that's a good example. George, when you look at this team, not only through one game, but just going into the season, what excites you the most about what this Giants team is going to be?
What excites me the most is it seems to have the feel of some of the teams that I was on. And, you know, the organization seems to have a lot more likeness now to the teams that I was on. And that's obviously a direct effect of Buster, the people that he's brought around, and how that trickles all the way down to the guys in the clubhouse. But what has made the Giants team successful that I've been on and the teams before me that were successful is really good pitching, starting and relieving, playing very good defense, being one of the better teams defensively in the league, and having a good cultured and chemistry clubhouse. And it seems like they're doing a really good job so far through spring training and game one of having all of those checked boxes. And I mean, look, you're not going to outslug some of these teams in the league that are heavy fire off offenses, but you can pitch with anybody. And I think that this rotation and bullpen pitching staff overall has a chance to be one of the best in not just the National League, but in baseball.
George, we're going to be hearing your voice a lot more, man, as we're getting going. Thank you so much for hopping on today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes, George Kontos, after a hell of a start to the season for the Giants. 6-4, they win in Cincinnati. They do it, come from behind. First time they've done that in the ninth inning on the road on opening day ever. That's a crazy statement.
I mean, I almost want to fact check it, but I know it's true because it comes from reliable sources. But when you think about that as a fact, it makes you wonder, like, how can that be? And I know it's a little bit nuanced because, you know, they came back in the ninth inning. So maybe previously on the road, they came back in the eighth inning, or maybe they won it in the tenth inning. So it's a little bit of a nuanced stat. But the fact that this is the first time, if you've been a franchise as long as this team has been a franchise, you shouldn't be doing anything for the first time. You know what I mean? There shouldn't be any firsts at this point.
You wouldn't think.
Right.
You wouldn't think. But it also, I mean, it does speak to how difficult it is to do what they did today. And so, again, I think that the importance of this is not that they're 1-0 in the standings. It's kind of what this does for the clubhouse. I can't overstate the fact that now you've done this when you're on the road together to start the season and you have tomorrow off. They get to just go be a fraternity now for 48 hours. I'm sure they'll have some sort of a workout or whatever
in
tomorrow.
In Cincinnati, unfortunately.
Whatever. I don't care.
I know. But,
you know, go bowling. I don't know. The weather's a little wonky out there right now.
Yeah.
It is here, too. Whatever. Like, point
I don't
being,
know what you would do in Cincinnati, though. I mean, your point is a good one, but
you can have fun anywhere.
We're talking about the Warriors going Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, and the Giants are in Cincinnati.
Right. Correct.
I mean.
And then they're going to Houston next.
Right. Some things are not like the other. Yeah, Houston's better.
Yeah, no, you don't need a great nightlife. Like, I just mean they get to be a bunch of dudes together, and they're feeling it, man. Like, you can see it. You can see it in the dugout. You can see it all spring training long. To start the season off that way, I believe is going to lead to more things.
It should. I mean, it's baseball, so, you know, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher is the old adage, and so you can come out on Saturday, because they don't play tomorrow, which is kind of fun, but you come out Saturday, and your starting pitcher could be off his game, and you lose 9-1.
You could, but they got nothing but Cy Young Award winners coming the rest of the weekend.
That's right.
That's it.
It's Verlander and Robbie Ray,
right?
That's
correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And I was looking at the Justin Verlander, and I don't want to get too far away from the excitement of today, but just the nuance of Justin Verlander and being a member of the 300-win club, he needs 38 more wins to get there. Justin Verlander is 42, and so you think, well, he's not going to get there. Then you think back to Randy Johnson, who wound up with 303 wins. Do you know how old he was when he was a Giant? In his last year, he got 8 wins to get to 303. The man was 45.
Good Lord.
Randy Johnson was 45 when he won 8 for the Giants, and, you know, he turned 45 at the end of that year.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily discount Justin if he wants to do it from, like, continuing to try and pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to throw great this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that he'll be 10 years ago Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be what he was last year, which was an ERA over 5 and dealing with injuries.
Can he be 3 years ago Verlander?
Sure.
18-4 with a 175.
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
At 39, though.
But,
like,
yeah, at 39. And look, again, all of these things, it's just like what we talk about with the Warriors all the time, which is when you're talking about aging players, the likelihood of injury goes up and they might need more rest. That's the beauty of maybe Birdsong in the bullpen. I don't know. Maybe every 4 starts, Justin skips one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it. And if they need to do that, they can do that. And therefore still get a high performance level from Verlander, who, don't forget, is in one of the great pitcher's parks in America.
True. True. And, I mean, he's won.
Not tomorrow, or not Saturday.
Right.
But he will be.
And he went 18-4 pitching for Houston. And Houston is not going to ever be confused as a pitcher's park. So he was able to do that in Houston, and you also have to pitch in Texas. You get to pitch in Oakland, or you used to anyway, when you're on Houston. But, you know, Verlander's got a chance to continue to chase that milestone, and I think you're right about how you use him. I don't think you look at a 42-year-old and think, 32 starts. We're going to need 32 out of all of you. You probably think about, every 5 or 6, we're going to give you the week, and
well,
he'll bring you back.
And I think about, like, part of this is a nod to Justin Verlander because of what he's achieved in this game, but I'm also thinking that the Giants strategically placed Justin Verlander right after Logan Webb in the rotation, and the reason for that is you're often going to get a rested bullpen.
Good point.
For Justin Verlander, because Logan Webb goes deeper into games than anybody in the game. So if Logan's going to go out there and give you six or seven each time, that means you're going to often have a rested bullpen the next day for Justin Verlander, and that may be what he is. Like, if you can get that 3 years ago Verlander, but you can only get it for five innings,
right,
I'll take it. Like, I'll take that from Justin Verlander, especially in this day and age where that's kind of all you're hoping for most of the guys.
Yeah,
Blake
yeah.
Snell never gave you any more than that.
It's true.
And people loved him.
Yeah. That one time he gave you nine. And
there was that one time.
Yeah, nobody hit him, and
yeah,
it became historical. But I do like the way that it lines up, especially when you think about, you know, Jordan Hicks is one of your starters, and the likelihood of him making 32 starts is not great. Last year he was on an innings restriction, and so you got to about, what, July or August, and they basically shut him down. They moved him to the bullpen. So this rotation, as it starts, it's not going to be the way the rotation finishes, for sure.
No, it never is. It never is, and actually, there's a piece of me that's a little bit excited about that, because as much as the Giants farm system has kind of publicly taken it on the chin the last few years, they're over here producing some young arms. Landon Roop made the rotation. Hayden Birdsong, there's excitement about him. He came out of nowhere. Kyle Harrison's supposed to be the big dog, and right now is trying to get himself back up to speed after some difficulties with health and whatnot, but he's still got a future. And then there's the Wizenhunts and others within the organization that they expect to be a part of this soon. And then don't forget the bullpen. Like, if you're thinking about names like Randy Rodriguez and Camilo Doval and Eric Miller and all of this, Ryan Walker, like, these are people who, some of them came over and trade early, but like, these are people who've come through the Giants system and look like they're really ready to contribute. So the farm system's not in great shape now, but part of that is because they have fed half of a pitching staff to the team this year.
Yes, and you also have, as George Contos was just saying to us, Kyle Harrison, you have the luxury of, you're 23, go ahead and go back to AAA,
right,
and, you know, work on some things. You're not so desperate for an arm that you had to, like, force him to be the four starter and, you know, kind of put him through what he went through last year, which was growing pains. And at times he was really good, and at times he just lost command. He lost command arm
lost
side.
Lost velocity, too.
He lost velocity. He lost command of the zone. It looked like he lost a little bit of confidence. And, you know, this year, you go ahead and start him in AAA. Maybe he develops another pitch or two. He gets some confidence. And you're going to need him at some point,
yeah,
no
at
doubt.
At some point, you're going to need him. He's not happy to be down there.
Of course.
He's not happy to be there. But it's the right spot for him to be at this point, based also on what some of the other arms are giving for you. All right, back to the big hero of the day, and that's Wilmer Flores. And, he's the, outside of Justin Verlander, he's the old guy, he's the forgotten guy, he's the no-excitement guy, but today he is the hero. And Bob Melvin had a couple things to pass along with regard to Wilmer Flores. First, just kind of the excitement of Wilmer having this moment. Here's Bo Mel.
Just huge that Flo came up with it, too. Not only is it good for us, it's good for him. Just a lot of good things came from this game to be able to come back late. The bullpen cover, you know, a good portion of the game. Just a lot of good things happened.
There's also this, and this is one of those things in sports that you always find out about the next year. You never find out in the year. In the year, you're just like, this dude sucks, and he can't play anymore, and he's done. And then you find out a year later, dude, he was battling. He's battling through all kinds of injury, and it gets tough. So Bo Mel now is free to talk about some of what Wilmer Flores was dealing with last year.
You know, it's just, it was about health for him. You know, it looks the same. You know, last year, he just couldn't, you know, drive off his leg. And, you know, we saw some homers early this spring where he was pulling some balls. He's pretty good about sitting on pitches at times, and he's always been a clutch guy. You know, a lot of walk-offs in his career, and, you know, the bigger the situation, the better he's been. So, you know, there's still a lot to like about Flo.
I get it, man. Sometimes you got to battle through it. It's no different than the 95-7 The Game knockout tournament. With Grandy asleep right now, I'll go ahead and say this freely. I wouldn't say it in the moment. I was battling through injury.
Oh, you sure were,
I battled through injury, and I didn't say anything in the moment because I didn't want to use it as an excuse. But now that it's over and Grandy is a two-time champ, yeah, dude, my left leg was totally locked up.
Yeah.
We went for it. It didn't work out. We'll be back next year.
And I applaud you fighting through that because I do believe you competed for the first time as a 50-year-old, and that's a real thing.
That's true.
I'm wearing the Disgrace at Chase shirt, which was February 26th of 2020, and at the time I was 51. And what you probably don't remember, because I don't think you ever saw, on the opening possession, I'm playing one-on-one against Lo Neal, who is he's between our ages. I think he's about 3 years younger than me.
Okay.
And he's backing me down, and he charges into me, and I fly back trying to get the call from Kalena Azubuki, who was refereeing.
And you didn't get the call?
Didn't get the call.
Yeah.
My head ka-slam on the hardwood. You can actually see it bounce. Immediately should have been put in the protocol.
Yeah, that's a blue tent.
I was more worried about getting the call than the protocol. So I, of course, jump up immediately, and I'm screaming at Azubuki, blow the whistle, blow it.
Blow the whistle. Yeah,
meanwhile,
absolutely.
Meanwhile, Lorenzo's missing layup after layup after layup, and I finally go over and get the rebound, but I also...
Wait a minute!
He missed like seven straight putbacks.
You took a charge that didn't get called.
Correct.
Whacked the back of your head on the floor.
Yes.
Complained to the ref.
Uh-huh.
And still had time to get over there before he put a layup in?
Well, he tried. I mean...
Oh my God, that's...
Miss. Come on, Buki, blow the whistle. Miss. Are you... Come on, Kalena. Oh, hold on, Kalena. Excuse me, I have to go rebound. Whoop. Rebound. Clear
that's
it.
That's not possible.
Miss.
Oh, my God.
We played one-on-one to 11, and after,
it
I don't know, 12...
7 hours?
Dude, after 12 minutes, I'm like wheezing, huffing and puffing, and I'm down 2-1. And I'm thinking... Oh, I don't, I mean...
What did we get ourselves
into?
Either I
get hot or I'm going home in a body bag, because I was dying, bro.
Well, somebody could have taken you right down the street to Mission Rock and buried you.
Yeah.
So...
Although I think the hospital was still under construction then.
Sorry for the recall comedy on radio. Everybody who understands that joke is probably having dinner right now, but anyway, whatever.
Splash was not here, so I couldn't get a libation.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think any of this was here. Like, these office buildings
not.
Were...
No, none of it.
No, and now, 5 years later, this place is literally an epicenter of fun.
Yeah, this place is awesome, man. It is absolutely awesome. And we're in the throes of March Madness here at Chase Center. By the way, we're at halftime of the game that is happening right next to us. We're at Splash, Thrive City, the great, great sports bar. And we're not just saying that because we're here.
Yep.
Man, we enjoy our time down here. And everybody in my life knows when we're going to do it. A show at Splash, they're like, oh, nachos, okay,
yep.
Right? Was this the first time you had had them?
Yes, and not the last.
No.
The problem is,
they're fantastic.
I'm supposed to go home and be hungry. So,
I know, that is a trick.
So, yeah. And we had wings, and I had the majority of a margarita pizza. I actually was going to scoop and score on the rest of your burger, but I didn't.
Go for it.
I got Abundant Life Read coming up in 10 minutes.
Okay.
And the problem is... I gotta go home hungry, and I'm gonna have to go home. Oh yeah, honey. How was your day, dear? It was great. Boy,
I'm
am I starving.
I'm starving. What did you make?
I mean,
you're gonna have to fake,
dude,
like food poisoning about halfway through that sucker.
I mean,
honey, something's wrong. I don't know. I can just excuse myself for just a minute.
Maybe
I'll be back.
Maybe it's because I'm so hungry I can't eat. But yeah.
Oh, gosh. Anyhow. The game that's going on next door is a barn burner.
Yeah.
We got a two-point game, Florida leading Maryland, 40-38 at the break. I'm going to need the Terps to win this basketball game.
For your bracket?
For the bracket.
Okay.
I'm going to need the Terps to win this basketball game. They're only down by two, but they are the dog. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a tight spread, and according to the math, I think the spread is 6.5, so right now the Terps are in the cover mode. road. And the bet I loved in that one is the under. And right now it's pacing right about on the number, which I think the over-under is 156. And we're at 78. So it's trending a little toward the over.
Yeah, that's looking a little high.
Alabama up 10 on BYU.
Yes, and early second half.
When that spread moved from Bama by 5.5 down to 4.5. And so we jumped on it because the public usually is wrong. And the money came in on BYU. I liked Alabama to win it, and they're comfortably up by 10.
Okay.
Long way to go, though.
Also, we can do some NBA scoreboard watching tonight as well. Again, with the Warriors off, there's a lot of action going on. The Lakers are late first quarter in Chicago. The Bulls, who are plucky, the Bulls have been playing very well lately, already out to a 9-point lead on the Lakers late first quarter. Also late first quarter of interest, the Grizzlies are at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, obviously, can really help the Warriors out tonight. They've only lost 5 home games all year. I expect them to do well. That said, Grizzlies up 3 late first quarter at Oklahoma City. The Rockets will be in action later on tonight at the Utah Jazz, and the Kings will be hosting the Blazers tonight in Sacto.
A lot of games of interest,
yeah,
and to keep an eye on as we all watch the college hoop here with BYU showing signs of life, and you know, a couple more games yet to come. And I was kind of teasing with Kirk Lakob earlier about, I don't know, there's a Duke kid who's pretty good who got a bit of an ankle injury. I don't know if you got your eyes on him. Obviously, Cooper Flagg is going number one overall, and the Warriors will not most likely have their pick.
They could trade Jimmy Butler for the number one overall pick. You never know.
I doubt that the team that lands at one would do that, but you know, they're allowed to. And unless the Warriors pick is, I guess if the Warriors pick lands in the top 10, they keep it.
It's top 10
otherwise,
protected, yes.
It's gone.
Yeah, and they're not going to get there.
But they do have, I guess, 2 second round picks because they've got Miami's pick coming,
right,
and they
right.
have their own. And, you know, they've shown a tendency and a propensity, rather, to buy a second round pick.
They have.
So
they've done
I would
well.
Look for them to do some second round maneuvering.
888-957-9570. We still got about 30 minutes or so to take your phone calls. Having a blast down here at Thrive City at Splash on what is a very, very busy sports evening. We've got March Madness. Some of the games are happening right next door, and it is opening day across the land in baseball, and the Giants did a little thing out there in Cincinnati, which was fall down by 3 runs and then work their way back. Elliot Ramos with a home run halfway through the game, made it a close one. Bullpen did great work through nothing but zeros on the board until they got to the top of the 9th, and a 2-out rally to tie the game on a Patrick Bailey base hit, followed by a 3-run homer for Wilmer Flores, giving the Giants a 6-3 lead. They win the game 6-4, and they are off and running to their season. And this is kind of the overriding point that I'm feeling today, which is not about being 1-0, but just about watching this lineup, having talked to those who are at spring training, Buster Posey back in the fold, the style of baseball that you're watching, everyday players at almost every spot on the diamond. This feels totally different. Giants baseball feels totally different than it has in the last 3 years, and I mean that in all kinds of good ways.
Yeah, the way it feels the most different, and I'm hoping that I'm right, is what we saw today, which is a little thump and a threat to hit the long ball, because last year, I'm just looking at the numbers, they hit 177 home runs below league average. The year before that, they hit 174 below league average. The year before was 183, slightly above, and then the year before that, the 107 win year, they were number 2 in baseball in home runs. And I know that home runs are not the end-all, be-all, especially when you play in a pitcher's park,
right,
but
right,
when
right.
you have a lineup, and you know, thinking about it earlier today, will this be the year that the Giants have a 30 home run hitter?
I'd still bet against it.
I would too, Mark,
I would still
but
bet against
I'm thinking
it.
The other side of it is, will the Giants have more than 5 guys who have 20 home runs?
Ooh, that's an interesting
one. And I do think that that becomes more likely because Adames is a threat. Chapman's a threat. Yaz can do it.
Ramos I don't know if Yaz. I would bet against Yaz because I do think Matos, like, Yaz is not going to get left-handed pitchers this year. Matos is going to, he's going to platoon to a certain degree. So if you're talking about, did you say 20 or 25 home runs?
Just 20.
Yeah, Yaz is a threat.
If,
you know,
5 can get you 20, and then 20 can get you 10, roughly.
Yeah.
That would be 300. That's a lot.
I mean, does Wilmer Flores get it? He absolutely could. Chapman should. Adames should. Ramos should. And then come the wild card players of, you know, guys like Wade, who stopped hitting home runs last year. Not sure why. Yeah. Jung-Hoo Lee has a little pop, but we didn't get to see a whole lot of it. Can Patrick Bailey do something like that? You know, he came in better shape, but he's a catcher, so he's looking at 120 games max.
Right.
So,
well,
yeah.
Even Yaz.
And then there's Tyler Fitzgerald. I mean, if he actually really plays the way he did last year, he's got that kind of power.
Yaz last year, in 428 at-bats, he hit 18.
Yeah.
And that's...
Oh, he can do it.
Yeah, 428 at-bats is about two-thirds time, and that means he probably didn't face a lot of lefties. I don't have the splits in front of me, but I think that he'll get about that same amount of playing time. And
you're probably right.
He has the ability to lock in and get hot in his last 3 years, 17, 15, 18. So, you know, if he gets you 20, you got a chance to have 5 guys get you 20.
The Dodgers are ahead of the Tigers 4-2 right
okay.
now. 4-2 in the fifth inning down at Dodger Stadium.
Giants
opening
about
day
to fall a full game back.
Again?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, yeah.
Dodgers ever lose? Will they ever lose?
Will they ever lose? Padres won today, too. They came from behind and beat the Braves. Went up against Chris Sale and put a 7 spot on the board.
Jeez. I mean, that's...
The Giants division is really hard.
Loaded.
It's really, really hard. It's loaded. Exactly. It's no different than, you know, what the Warriors look at in the Western Conference. But this is it. This is going to be a difficult one. But everything is off to about as good of a start as a Giants fan could have hoped. So, the emotions of the day for Giants fans, you can pick any one word and describe them. How are you feeling after what you saw in Cincinnati today? We still have some time for your calls if you'd like to join us at 888-957-9570. Live at Splash, March Madness next door, opening day in baseball, and a little bit of a soft spot in the Warriors' schedule as we start to look to 24 hours out when they get back on the wood in New Orleans and hopefully the return of Steph Curry. That's what we're talking about right now. It's all brought to you by Safeway, and this is Willard and Dibbs. I'm laughing because I just got a text message from my lovely.
Okay.
And it makes my heart flutter, but not in the ways that you think.
Okay.
All right? It literally just came up. And do you want to know what the first 3 words are of this text?
It has to be I love you.
Nope.
Hi, schnooker doodle.
Nope.
What's good, Pookie?
Nope.
You're so gorgeous.
Might have been, but no. No.
Am I getting warmer or colder?
You're getting colder.
Snuggle time later?
First 3 words of the text from the lovely Christy. Blake Snell sucks.
Oh, God.
First 3 words.
Okay.
I'm like, hang on. I'm going to click on that text.
Yeah.
So apparently, the lovely opened up her Underdog app today, and she's like, oh, I know that guy. That guy was on the Giants last year. So we're going to do Blake Snell. Blake Snell.
Okay.
Higher than 5.5 strikeouts. Only if she had consulted with her man.
Oh, jeez.
And I would have told her, you know, that dude ain't going very deep into this game. So Blake Snell is throwing for the Dodgers in that game that I referenced earlier. Blake is out. Blake is out after 5 innings pitched.
Okay.
4 walks. 2 strikeouts.
2 punchies?
2 punchies.
Who'd he get?
I don't know. A couple of Tigers I've never heard of. have?
Let me see if you got my boy Ryan Kreidler. My former radio partner, Kreidler's son.
He did get him.
He did.
Okay.
Kreidler is one of the two strikeouts
all
for
right,
the Tigers.
Kreidler's a hit, though.
One for two. He got a hit with a strikeout.
That boy Kreidler.
Yeah, he's hitting 500 this year.
And he moved from, he's played shortstop his entire pro career, and now they got him out in center field. And my sources tell me he made a nice sliding catch on the warning track.
My sources tell me they've already pinch hit for him.
That's fine.
So he out.
He's in the show.
He's in the show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know who else is out? Blake Snell.
Blake Snell is out. And the Tigers are rallying in the top of the sixth.
Let's go, Tigers.
Let's go. But yes, that's why I proposed to her, because I get texts that say Blake Snell sucks.
But you guys
I enjoy that.
You need to work on your communication where she consults with the expert, the underdog endorser, before she goes willy-nilly and starts making wagers.
Ain't no damn expert over here.
Stop.
Ain't no damn expert over here.
There goes that endorsement.
However, actually.
Use the promo code Willard.
I think we're doing okay. Yeah.
Two L's, one W.
I had a couple of meatballs on the Giants today.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I see, and all that was to me, that was not analysis. That was positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
That's all it was. I wanted to sit down, do the show with you, watch the game, and put some positive reinforcement into the Giants season. And it worked.
I love it.
It took a minute, but it worked.
Yeah, it's funny because we work with a guy who will go reverse devil tongue. Guru will bet against his team at times. That way you can make sure that you at least get a positive feeling out of it. Your team wins, you lose your bet, fine. Your team loses, you win your bet.
No, I'm an all-in guy. I'm an all-in.
Yeah.
You got to push everything into the middle of the table. And the Giants were able to do that today. So that's a really good start. And then I also start to think, like, let's start getting ourselves ready for tomorrow. I think it's going to be the return of Steph Curry. The Warriors are now hunting the sixth seed again for the first time in a number of weeks. This is quite a game tomorrow. It's quite a day on 95.7 The Game. It's a weird one, okay? Dan Dibley's on a plane with a two-year-old.
Oh, God.
And I've got 45 minutes with the goo.
With the goo.
With the goo.
So you'll do the cross till 2:15.
Crossover till regular time. Steiny bag on the shoulder, 2:12.
Up 2:10 on a payday Friday.
That's a good point.
Yep.
And knowing that his partner's not leaving, he'll probably get pissed and leave at 2:08. But whatever.
Right.
Steiny will leave. You're on a plane. And then, all the way till 3 o'clock, Willard and Goo. I'm very excited.
And then what happens at 3?
And I just keep doing the show.
Solo Dolo. Okay.
Yeah, and Warriors live at 4.
And I know you got a special guest coming on tomorrow.
Yeah, Bob Fitz is going to come on.
Nice.
Bob Fitzgerald's going to come on.
Not that you can't do it solo, because you can, and you did for
a long time.
Years and years.
Yeah.
From your bedroom, I'm being told.
From my bedroom, from my garage.
Right.
From wherever the hell
backyard.
From wherever the hell that wire would lead me. plugging into the internet during COVID. Exactly right. So, it's going to be an interesting day on 95.7 The Game, and obviously I do think, I don't know, I'm not reporting, but I think it will be Steph Curry's first game back. And bottom line, dude, the Warriors have got to look different tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I said this earlier in the week, you can see the way the math is working in the standings. If the Warriors lose tomorrow night, I honestly think that you can kiss the sixth seed goodbye.
Yeah, I'm not quite all in on that, but it does feel a little bit like that, because you'd be losing to New Orleans, and you and I talked about it, where if you go 7-3, you win 48, will 48 be enough? Maybe. If the Clippers win 48, and you're tied with the Clippers, you lose the tiebreaker, so 48 might not be enough, but if we just play with that as the baseline, 7-3, well, of your remaining 10 games, and you want to rank them in order of most likely to win, the New Orleans game is one of the most likely games.
No doubt.
San Antonio, those might be the two most likely, because you got a tough, you got three or four
tough
that are
schedule,
really tough.
Yeah, tough schedule next week combined with a really easy schedule for the Clippers, and they're playing as well as anybody in the NBA right now. So I'll be real with you, Dibs. I don't like the way it looks right now, even if they do win tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I don't love the look of it, but But I can tell you that if they lose tomorrow night, I really hate it. So it's got to be a different look last night, and the Warriors have just got to find their mojo again.
Yeah, and as we mentioned yesterday, and I was doing the numbers on it, this year without Steph, 7-5, 7-1 at home without Steph, 0-4 on the road, and in those games, something I didn't point out yesterday, I did mention that they are shooting 27.6% from three on the road, no Steph. In all four of those games, they shot exactly 38 threes. In all four games.
Interesting.
They made 7 against the Clippers, loss. They made 10 against Indiana, loss. They made 16 against Atlanta, loss.
Loss somehow.
And then you made 9 the other night against Miami, loss. So 38 threes in all those games, all on the road without Steph, all losses. So based on what Kirk Lakeham said earlier, and he kind of gave us not a wink, but there was a certain glimmer in his eye, and he said, yeah, and Steph will be back soon. And it's like, okay, soon.
Steph will be back tomorrow night.
Yes.
Steph's going to play tomorrow night. I feel very strongly about that. Not reporting it,
right. Just
feel like Steph's going to play tomorrow night, and they need it. They need it. You know, bottom line, of all the excuses that I heard after the way this road trip has started, I don't really like most of them. I don't buy most of them. I do buy that one. I think that is fair. Like, because of the arrival of Jimmy Butler, we have sort of flicked the idea of playing without Steph Curry. I don't think the Warriors are a very good basketball team without Steph Curry.
Especially on the road.
It's not a hot take.
Well, and the numbers would meet that out, and we talked about it yesterday about role players being better at home, and you look at Quentin and Brandon and Moses. Moses was 0 of 9 from 3 against Miami. That was a road game. And we ran through the splits yesterday, home and road, and all these guys, all of the role players, and they're all much better at home. And I believe tomorrow night's game is on the road, last I checked.
That's what I heard, yes.
So if you don't have Steph, you're in real trouble. And I think you will have Steph. I think you're right. And then you've got San Antonio after that. So pick up these two, and you and I will talk again next week, and hopefully they're in a little bit of a better spot.
Want to thank Splash for everything. James Kincaid with the Warriors for putting this all together. Tim, thank you for being here as always and putting this together, probably starting at about 5 o'clock this morning. But this has been another wonderful trip down here and an energetic day here at Thrive City. So we're already looking forward to our next trip out here. And then, got to bring Lucas Alexander in, because what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Lucas, are you talking on the radio here coming up at 6 o'clock?
Minimally. It's going to be mostly just a couple Giants lifers, boys. I don't know if you heard the morning roast with our boy Mark Grandy hosting with Butch in the morning.
I did hear some of it.
They caught up with Flem and Dave Dravecki earlier today on opening day, getting ready for this Giants opener. We're going to hear both those interviews. Two really good ones, and maybe you'll get to hear Grandy's voice like you normally do in the 6 p.m. hour.
Yeah, okay, there it is. So there'll be some Grandy, and I did hear Dave Fleming with him.
Yeah.
And always, I think, for whatever reason, if you're a Giants fan, Dave Fleming he has a relaxing effect on you.
Oh, yeah.
When you're feeling like kind of angsty about the way that team is playing.
He's positive, but he also keeps it real.
He does. He does.
You know? Yeah, he's not just going to say what the team wants him to say. If they're playing bad or badly, he'll let you know.
All right, so best of the game is what's coming up on deck. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
No, I'm a little busy.
Okay, all right, you're out. But yeah, special. Willard and the Goo is starting at 2:15, regular crossover, regular time, then a little solo ball, then we got a Warrior game coming up tomorrow night. So we're looking forward to all of that. For Dibs, for Lucas, for Ken, for everybody else who helped back at the studio, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.